Man, you may be seated. Well, if you have your Bibles, would you turn to Acts chapter 6, verses 1 through 7, as the kids head down to Children's Church. We are looking at a new series. We're looking at biblical church growth. Church growth has been on the minds of people for a number of years. It goes way back. And quite frankly, all of the things that we see about church growth are not biblical at all. Most of the churches that are growing are not growing biblically. They may have numbers, but what you have are leaders that have tried to figure out ways to get people into church through marketing, through various stunts, and they get people in. And it feels good, and it looks good. But along the way, something is desperately wrong. And what is wrong is that when you find the relationship between the church and what's going on in the world, you cannot see it. Because if there were the number of people who were truly born from above, who were truly followers of Jesus Christ as the Word of God defines it, a follower of Christ, we would not be living in the world that we live today. Would there be troubles and tribulations? Yes, there would be. But would we live in the state of the condition that we have now if truly the church was growing biblically? No, we would not. And so I want to look at this, look at what Luke brings to us. The blessings of biblical church growth, but know something else. And I was thinking about this, that God has a sense of humor. Because God also brings tests to the church that is growing biblically. And the bottom line is this. If the church is not growing, it is what? It is dying. If it doesn't grow, it dies. Some people say, well, we've just plateaued. Well, plateau means nothing. And that means death. Nothing is happening. There is death going on. God intended His church to grow, just not as we have thought that and have come up with our own schemes. One particular, and I don't do this to be disparaging, but at the same time, when you look at some of these quote-unquote megachurch pastors, and there's nothing wrong with a megachurch, by the way, as long as it's growing biblically. But when you look at one of them, what happened? What happened when Rick Warren came on the scene? He came up with a recipe. It's called Purpose Driven. And there were seminars, and there were great conferences, and there were campaigns, and all of these things going on. And yes, the pastors even bought the Purpose Driven wardrobe. We turned off our coat and tie for a Hawaiian shirt, grew a goatee, cut some holes in our jeans, and it went on from there. Where is all of that now? It's gone. There is no more of that anymore. It's had its time. But what you don't realize is this. Like my Aunt Carm would never give up the recipe fully to her sweet dough, neither do these pastors give up their recipes for their church growth. And what you may not know about Rick Warren is that he has his degree in marketing. He's gifted in marketing. But he didn't tell anybody that. It was couched as or put forth as, this is all God bringing it. Now, were there those who came and came to the Lord? Of course there were. But what happened is you had this spreading of this. The same thing with seeker-sensitive movement. The truth is, no one, according to the Bible, seeks God on their own. No one comes to church or to be with the church on their own. God is the one who draws them. He is the drawing power. So in Acts chapter 6, verses 1 through 7, it may be a strange place to start, but it's going to be like a movie, I would say so, that if you blink, you might miss something. Perhaps at the end of it, you will say, I could have went to the bathroom. I wouldn't have missed anything. I don't know. But we'll find out here. Acts chapter 6, verses 1 through 7. Now in these days, when the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint by the Hellenists arose against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. And the 12 summoned the full number of disciples and said, "It is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute or reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty. But we will devote ourselves to prayer, to the ministry of the word." And what they said pleased the whole gathering, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch. These they set before the apostles, and they prayed and laid their hands on them. And the word of God continued to increase, and the number of disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem. And a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. Anthony Davis, if you follow basketball, he was the 6'11" power forward for the New Orleans Pelicans. When Davis was in high school, think about this, he grew from 6'2" to 6'10" between his sophomore and senior years. 8 inches in 18 months. That is quite a growth spurt. Can you imagine that? But it wasn't without the challenge. In his senior year, he had one scholarship. But shortly after his growth spurt, he was offered challenges all over the country. It was tremendous what Davis went through. Can you imagine the challenges of growing so quickly? He didn't have a choice. He grew. That was purposed for him. We were talking to our grandson just before school. And so we took him out for some shopping. And Patty said, "You got a whole bunch of pants." Well, guess what? He's as tall as I am now. Just in a little short while, like we used to say, "Hey, your ankles want to have a party and invite your pants down." His pants, he had the high waters going on. So, you know, he grew rapidly. And this is the challenge is there. But think about what this guy had to do. He had to learn how to play a different position that he had learned before. He had to learn a new change in all of his basketball skills. In Acts chapter 6, we see church growth taking place. But God is also showing us the challenges of a biblically growing church. That God says, if I grow your church biblically, as I should grow it, right? He says, I will build your church. Know this, that challenges will come with the growth that He brings. And so we need to be ready for those challenges. Gospel growth always brings blessings to the church. Gospel growth always brings challenges to the church, and gospel growth always brings opportunities to the church. Just as Anthony Davis grew tremendously, he was also challenged, but he also had many more opportunities coming his way. In the very first verse of Acts chapter 6, this is great news. "Now, in these days when the disciples were increasing in number," that is great news. Who are the disciples? Well, you've got the apostles, it's not them. Obviously, when you go back to Acts chapter 2, there were at least 5,000 added. The Lord was adding to the church daily those who were being what? Saved. And so now, around this time, the church has grown from 3,000 to 5,000 to scholars believe, in the area of 20,000. That is rapid church growth. And obviously, there's going to be challenges with that growth. But think of the opportunities that come along with that biblical church growth. The church is growing, but the bad news is the people are complaining. Luke goes on to describe how the church handled the biblical church growth to advance the mission of Christ. So we're going to look at a few lessons here from this today, and we are not going to get even close to being through. But let's look at one particular thing. In those days, the disciples, that means the church was growing. Biblical church growth, we have to answer the question, what is a disciple? What does that mean? When somebody says, I'm a disciple of Christ, it means literally this. It is a student, one who is tutored, implying that there is this very close relationship. It goes more so to the point of an apprentice. It goes to the one who shows up every day to be with their mentor, to be taught. And every single day they go to the mentor as the apprentice, and something new is learned, and they are literally attached. The student, the pupil, to the mentor. There is no separation at all. In that day, the disciples, those students of the Word of God who had come to faith by grace, received Christ, were inseparable from Christ, and they gathered daily to study the Word of God, not for the sake of being scholars in the Word of God, but for the sake of having a closer relationship with the one who saved them. And the Lord was adding to the church daily those who were being saved. Those are disciples. If you would say, I am a disciple of Jesus Christ, as we should be, then we are pupils, we are students, we are in His apprenticeship program. And when does that end? It never ends until He takes us home to glory. But people react to church growth differently. Some will celebrate. I mean, they will like, whoa, this is tremendous. Look at all of this is exactly what we wanted. This is just what we've been praying for, this, and the Lord has given it to us. However, if you pray for something, you better pray to be prepared to receive what God's going to give you. And I remember a number of years ago at our home church, down just a short distance away in Boston Spa, we had been praying that God would bring the destitute, right? That's the big thing. Let's pray for the destitute to come in. Let's pray for the alcoholics and the drug addicts. And we prayed for those people to come in. This is what we want. And guess what God did? He gave us those people. And you know what happened? We weren't prepared. Because when you ask for something, you don't fully see all that goes along with it. The challenges that go along. But God brought that place. And some came in to the church and smelled more like a bingo hall or a nightclub than it did the church. The place was filled with the smell of cigarette smoke from the clothing and some of the alcoholics who probably just sat down their drink to come. They didn't look like us. They didn't talk like us. Everything was different. And the church was like, hey, we're getting them. And then they said, hey, who are those people? They're the ones we prayed for. And do you know what happened to those people? Nothing. Because those who claim to be disciples didn't take time to really ask, Lord, when you give us growth, prepare us for what you will do, the challenges that come along with church growth. But when you hear church growth, not everybody celebrates it. the flip side takes place. You're just obsessed with numbers. All you want is numbers, numbers, numbers. We like a small church. Well, you won't like heaven very much. But there's a difference between being big for the Lord, but being small. And there's a difference between being small for the Lord and being big. It's interesting, isn't it? The passage helps us to understand some things. Helps us to understand what they experienced of the type of growth here. And the type of growth that they experienced and the type of growth that we should always be looking for and settle for nothing less is gospel-centered growing churches. Without the gospel of Jesus Christ being proclaimed and people coming to faith in the Lord, there is no legitimate church growth. There is none. It came as a passionate preaching of the Word of God, Jesus Christ, and it came with compassionate ministries to the people who were being saved. There was no marketing stunt behind this. None of those disciples had a degree in marketing. None of them were consumed or concerned with consumerism. None of them had one church offering watered-down sermons so that they can affect people while other churches would offer doctrinally sound sermons. That wasn't taking place. There was none of that going on. There was no separation at all. They were not handing out gift bags with some cookies in it in the hope that somebody would please come to the church. You saw none of that going on because none of that grows the church. It is a stunt. Yet the Lord blessed the church with multitudes, multitudes of people coming to faith in Jesus Christ. This reminds us of something. That today's congregations can grow a crowd. That's not difficult to do. Congregations can and they have been expanding crowds in a variety of ways. But a church, or church legitimately, because the church is not the building, the church is us, the people. A church is legitimately built only through the embracing of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Period. There's no gray area. And so, look at with me Acts chapter 5, verse 42. They keep the gospel primary in everything that they did. And every day, in the temple, and from house to house, they did not cease teaching and preaching that Christ is Jesus. Or that Jesus is the Christ. Who were they affecting? They went to the temple. Who do you think that they were affecting? Well, the Jews. They were affecting religious people, spiritual people, people that thought that they had a relationship with God, but had rejected His Son. They go into the temple, and they preach the gospel, and they tell these people, we're telling you that your Messiah, Christ, is Jesus, and He's your Savior. The Anointed One of God is your Savior. Many were coming to faith. The Bible says even the priests, temple priests, were coming to faith. But they were also going from house to house. They were affecting the Gentiles as well. So the blitz that's going on with the Word of God, they're bringing. And I know this from the Gideons because I know Tom and I know Linda, that the gospel of Jesus Christ is at the forefront of their minds. They want people to come to faith in Jesus Christ, but faith comes from hearing, and hearing from the Word of God. They're giving out the Bible. They're going to speak to them the Word of God. Look at it again with me in Acts 5:42. And every day in the temple, from house to house, they did not cease what? Teaching. What were they teaching? The Word of God. Preaching. What were they preaching? The Word of God. Christ in Him crucified. And these people were embracing the gospel. And the Lord added daily to the church those who were being saved. They kept teaching, they kept preaching Christ every day. And when this happens, no matter where it is, when this happens, the church will grow. And when this happens and the church grows, what should we do? First principle, rejoice in that gospel-centered growth. Rejoice, Paul would say. I say again, rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord. Now, a big church is not necessarily an unfaithful church. Luke has no aversion to seeing new faces joining the church. And it's interesting what he does. He brackets verse 1 and verse 7 against the other verses. Look at verse number 1 of chapter 6. Now in these days, when the disciples were what? Increasing in number. Verse number 7. And the word of God continued to increase, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly. We see an increase, and now we see great multiplication of people coming to faith in the Lord. Verse 1, they increase. Verse 7, they increase greatly. Is Luke about numbers? Just numbers? Nope. He's not. But he's counting. And why would he be counting? Because Luke understands something. That without Christ, people are dead in their transgressions. They're dead in their sin. And they're hellbound. So he counts those because he says those people count. And they have been accounted for by the Lord. I go back to my First Baptist down in Balsas Fowl. We used to come into church. I didn't know what this thing was. But I don't know. Maybe years and years ago, Steve, we did it here. I don't recall that. But it was called the Friendship Folder. And you went in and sat in the pew. And at the edge of the pew was a little binder. And in it, it had name, address, and phone number. And you would fill that out, and then you would pass it down to the next person in line. That was kind of like the precursor to fellowship greetings. And so they would say, please fill out the friendship folder and pass it down. Two things were happening there. The first thing is that we would pass it down to Ethan and Loretta, and then to Rob and to Brian and all each way. We would get to say, good morning. And if I had never met Ethan and Loretta before, I would say, good morning. Hey, I'm Frank, and hey, nice to meet you, and we'd love to have you fill this out. And they fill it out. It takes place of those little cards we hand out all over, right? And it passes down. You get to know somebody, and perhaps somebody that you did know already, you got to say hello to and exchange some words as it passed down. The other thing is that at the very end, the deacons collected the friendship folders. And at the end of the service, the deacons would go through and they would keep track of everybody that was in church. And guess what? You would know who was there and who wasn't there. And then the pastor was given those people who were not in church. He would make the contacts and say, hey, we missed you this week. And then from there, we would know, because there were no cell phones and those things way back then, they were sick or something is going on. It brought fellowship. But it points to something so important. We were not just counting people to see how many were in church that Sunday, like, you know, with the counter. We had names before us because people who were in the church who belonged to the Lord mattered. They counted. And that is the purpose of what Luke is speaking of here. It was not for the sake of numbers only, but today most pastors, when they get together, hey, how's your church going? Good. We had about 60 on Sunday. And all they talk about is numbers. How many baptisms did you have? Numbers. And you submit those numbers to an association or wherever, and now those churches become the newsletter. These are newsworthy churches. It's all about just numbers, rather than numbering the people because they counted. And the disciples knew the importance of this, and they were rejoicing in these things. People matter to God, so we should long to reach more and more people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We should desire that our numbers of those being saved through the proclamation and the teaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ increase and increase greatly. But not all growth is good. Not all growth is good. Because one could be all about getting the people into the building, growing a crowd for the sake of numbers, having one's own kingdom, like sadly some pastors have today. Look at what I did. Look at what I did. But Jesus, in Matthew chapter 7, said, in that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, have we not done these things? Have we not done it? And I will say to them, depart from me, you doers of iniquity. And they'll be cast into utter torment where there's gnashing of teeth. This is the most sad thing, because Jesus is speaking about the church, but they did it in their own strength. Had we, look at us, look what we did. The Lord says, I don't know you. I don't know you. See, it's one thing to know the Lord, but here's the flip side of that coin. This is so important. Does the Lord know you? I can know the Lord all out, but if He doesn't know you, that's a problem. And so, not all church growth is good. But when the gospel is front and center and the church is growing, rejoice in that. Let me give you some summary statements in which Luke mentions the church, the biblical growth of the church. In Acts chapter 2, verse 41, so those who accepted His message, not everybody accepts His message, those who accepted His message were baptized. And that day, about 3,000 people were added to them. Can you imagine the rejoicing that took place that day? But can you imagine the challenges that took place? From 120 to 3,000? Yikes. Every day, Acts 2:47, every day the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. How did that happen every day? Go to Acts 5:42, and every day in the temple and from house to house, they did not cease teaching and preaching that Christ is Jesus. He was adding to their numbers every day, because every day the disciples, those who were inseparable from the Lord, who were in the apprenticeship program with Him, perfect? No. But they went out every day and they were teaching and preaching Christ and Him crucified. And every day, people were added to the church, biblical, using the Bible, the Word of God, to grow the church. And the Lord added daily those who were being saved. In Acts 4:4, He says, but many of those who heard the message believed, and the number of men, this is just men, came to about 5,000. In Acts 5:14, believers were added to the Lord in increasing numbers. Isn't it something that you cannot belong to the church unless you are added to the Lord. The Holy Spirit of God baptizes a believer in Christ. He adds us to Christ, and Christ builds His church. I will build my church. They are made up of people who have born from above, who have trusted in me, and I am the one who is building the church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against those who have been added to me. How do I know that? Because Jesus said, "All whom the Father has given me, no one shall be able to take away." Amazing, isn't it? But then, in Acts 9:31, he says, "So the church throughout all Judea, Galilee, and Samaria had peace and was strengthened, living in the fear of the Lord and encouraged by the Holy Spirit. It increased in numbers." In Acts 13:49, the word of the Lord spread through the whole city and region. It's beautiful, the whole region. What was happening? Churches were being planted. This was a church plant. Greenfield Center was a church plant. Most of the churches in this area were church plants from the commander of General George Washington. This church was planted by a commander of General George Washington. Stillwater Church was the first church planted in the area. And Greenfield Center Baptist Church was a result of the Stillwater Church. First Baptist Church, I say of my home church in Balsam Spa, was a result of that. The Old Stone Church on Stone Church Road, these were all church plants. What was happening in those days? The Lord was adding daily to those who were being saved. And we are here today because of a faithful church back in revolutionary times. The Lord added to the church. In Acts 16:5, "So the churches were strengthened in the faith and grew daily in numbers in the Galatian region." In Acts 19:20, "In this way the word of the Lord flourished and prevailed." This is in Ephesus. And then finally, in Acts 21:20, "You see, brother, how many thousands of Jews there are who have believed." By the time the sixth chapter of Acts is written, there are more than 20,000 people who have put their faith in Jesus Christ. The church is part of the harvest. Those who are in Christ, we are part of His harvest. Because one particular day, somebody, you might remember who they are, you might not remember who they are, but somebody brought to you the Word of God. Or you may have been sitting somewhere with the Word of God open, and the Holy Spirit of God brought His grace to you and saved you that day. You may have been in prayer. You may have been in a church somewhere and heard the Word of God being proclaimed. But somebody spoke to you about the grace of Jesus Christ. Somebody told you about the good news of Jesus Christ. Somebody told you about the cross and the exchange that was made. Your sins upon Him, His righteousness upon you. Somebody told you beyond the death of Christ and what it accomplished, that the shedding of blood was for the forgiveness of sins, that He is the Son of God, and on the third day God raised Him from the dead, so that with the mouth one confesses that Jesus is Lord, and with the heart believes that God has raised Him from the dead. There's the gospel. That for whosoever shall call upon the pastor, no. Shall attend a nice outreach event, no. unless the pastor, of course, would bring them the gospel of Jesus Christ. Unless the community outreach is so gospel-centered and focused that everyone going by will hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Word of God. Then celebrate and give them a gift bag. The Lord is the one who adds to the church. That is biblical church growth. But we are part of the harvest of His amazing grace. And this growth that we are seeing being described in God's Word, not by any books that you can buy and try to figure out how to do this, and I have a ton of them, is a foretaste of something. Let me just close with this. Foretaste of what? It is a foretaste of the ingathering, and think of the beauty of this, of the ingathering of the nations, of every tribe, of every kindred, of every tongue, gathered around the throne room of Almighty God, as promised in Revelation 7 and verse 9, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. This Jesus loves that we are the ingathering, part of this great harvest of a seed that was sown one time. And we can count ourselves as one, as gospel-centered church growth, biblical church growth. And we should rejoice with one another. You should rejoice also with yourself. Rejoice in the Lord with Him, to thank Him that He came to you one day and saved you out of your sins to the uttermost because somebody came. Did not try just to get you to come to a building so that they can say, we've got this amount of people in church on Sunday. No. But can celebrate and say, look what the Lord has done. All praise and honor and glory to Him. So rejoice. Rejoice when the Lord grows His church. Next week when we get together, the good Lord willing, we're going to look at some problems that come along with church growth. But it's a good thing because as apprentices, if you've ever been in an apprentice program, my son was in an apprentice program for 5 years. The problems associated with that. For those of us who we may not like to think of it, but when we first came out of the academy, we were assigned another person, right? We were in an apprentice program, and sometimes we think we know it all, but we don't. Even with Pastor Sean coming, I'm so glad that he's a brother in Christ. We're linked to the Lord, but also something else. We hold each other accountable. We talked for more than 2 hours on the phone when we were talking about the Lord. We were talking about doctrinal matters. It's pretty amazing, right? We're all still in the apprenticeship program, but we're apprentices to Him. He is the one who leads us in the way to go. And next week, we are going to see how He began to further equip the church for more growth that would come through the challenges that He would bring. Let's stand and sing praises to Him.